Chapter 7. Londell waved Harold over to the car and handed him two paper bags and a slip of paper.
Here you go. Two packages, two drops.
Harold recognized the first address. It was the same house he'd gone to yesterday. The second address he didn't know. He shoved the bags into his backpack and stood at the curb waiting.
Well, what you waiting for? Londell said impatiently.
Aren't you going to drop me?
Harold asked.
Boy, I ain't your taxi. Yesterday I was showing you the ropes. You know what you're doing now. So go get me my money, he ordered.
But I gotta be home in 2 hours,
Harold replied, looking at the addresses.
I don't think I got enough time.
Fine, Londell snapped. I'll send Bug instead. I'll give him your money, too.
Yo, Bug, he shouted.
No, wait,
Harold cried, glancing at the young boy fiddling with his yellow backpack. Even if he didn't need the money, Harold didn't want Bug out on the streets alone.
I'll do it.
Moments later, Harold was hurrying toward the white house with green shutters. It was 10 blocks away, and Harold knew he had to rush to make it home on time. After 2 blocks, he felt a cramp rip into his stomach. A block further, he was gasping for air.
I can't run that far, Harold thought, squatting on the sidewalk to catch his breath.
Behind him, the broken front door of a boarded-up house creaked open. Harold took off running again, afraid to look back. He could hear the brown paper bags crunching in his backpack. He felt like a moving target. Drenched in sweat and out of breath, he finally crossed into the leafy neighborhood Londell had driven through yesterday. An elderly woman with a cart full of groceries passed him on the sidewalk.
You okay?
She asked. She reminded him of Grandma.
Yeah,
he replied guiltily. His backpack suddenly felt bulky and oversized.
Could she hear the paper bags inside, too? He wondered.
I'm fine, he said, avoiding her gaze.
I gotta go.
Harold rushed by her then, walking the final 2 blocks until he reached the White House. The lights were on. Inside, he could hear a woman's voice and the clank of dinner plates and silverware. Harold knocked on the door.
I get it, baby,
he heard a man yell. A few seconds later, Sean stepped out onto the porch and looked around nervously.
Come on, hurry up,
he said tensely, scratching at his arm. His face was sticky pale and his eyes looked red and dry.
It's $100, Harold said.
Sean paused and checked the street.
Where's Londell? He asked.
Harold didn't like the way he was acting. He seemed tense, more agitated than yesterday.
He's around the corner, Harold lied.
Oh,
Sean replied as he reached into his pocket and handed Harold a roll of cash. Remembering Londell's instructions, Harold counted it. There was only $60.
It's $100, Harold said, trying to sound confident. You only gave me $60.
Come on, kid, help me out here.
Harold took a step back.
It's $100.
Who's at the door, babe?
The woman called from inside the house.
No one, Sean shouted back. Wrong house.
Here, he snapped, shoving $40 more into Harold's sweaty hand.
You happy now?
Harold reached into his backpack.
Don't come so late next time, Sean added. My wife's home now.
Wife?
Harold thought. His heart raced as he quickly handed over the paper sack.
What if she comes out here?
Suddenly, Harold heard something creeping up the sidewalk close by. He whipped around to see a little girl. She was stopped in front of the house.
Hi, Mr. Sean,
she said with a grin. For an instant, Harold was frozen. He looked at Sean, wishing he'd never met him, and then glanced at the little girl. She proudly held out a doll in her small hand.
It's for Mommy, she chirped, walking toward the house. Wanna see?
Harold gasped and lowered his head, unable to look into her eyes. He suddenly felt dirty, unclean. He gripped his backpack, terrified its contents would spill and the child would know why he was there.
Not now, sweetie, Sean called out.
He smiled then, a gesture Harold could see took all his effort.
Go home to Mommy, he said.
Who's there?
his wife called out from inside the house.
Get out of here, man,
Sean whispered angrily to Harold.
Go.
Harold threw his bag over his shoulder and took off down the front walkway. He raced by the little girl who stumbled backward.
Mommy,
she hollered. As Harold passed the house next door, he heard a door creak open and a woman's voice call out.
Maria, what's wrong, baby?
Harold pressed his hands to his ears and ran. All his life, Grandma had warned him about the guys who dealt drugs and ruined neighborhoods. All his life, she'd fought to keep her block free of drugs and safe for kids to play. And now he'd become the very thing she stood against. His face burned with shame. He wanted to throw the remaining bag in the gutter and go home. But Londell's warning echoed in his mind.
Don't you ever come back to me short on what you owe.
I gotta keep going, he thought, glancing at his watch. Just one more delivery. Harold's heart raced. He tried to push the little girl's face out of his mind, but there it was, condemning him, accusing him, calling him what he was, a drug dealer. Harold reached the next address 20 minutes later.
Great,
Harold thought, looking up at the dilapidated house. The top two windows were covered in plywood. It was dark, except for a faint light on the first floor. He could see several people moving around inside. A sick, creeping feeling sank into the pit of Harold's stomach. Every muscle in his body told him to get away, to drop the bag and run, but he knew that wasn't an option.
Just get it over with, he thought.
Harold dragged himself to the front door and knocked. A dog snarled angrily on the other side.
Who's there?
A voice shouted suspiciously. Harold wasn't sure to say.
I'm with Londell,
he answered. The door opened a crack, and a skinny man peered at Harold.
Where's the other boy?
He snarled.
Where's Keenan?
He's not here, Harold replied nervously.
I'm Harold. You got my stuff?
Yeah,
said Harold, reaching into his backpack.
It's $100.
Let me check it first,
said the man, looking Harold over.
The money first,
Harold said cautiously.
How do I know you ain't ripping me off?
The man replied.
Let me check the bag.
I ain't got time for this,
Harold yelled desperately.
Please, mister, just give me the money so I can get out of here.
The man handed Harold a wad of cash. Harold counted it quickly and shoved the bag into his hands, glad to be rid of it. He hurried back to the playground, which was busier than ever. Jupiter and Keenan stood together at the far corner, their hands moving swiftly, taking money and giving out what looked like small plastic bags. Harold headed straight for Londell's car, which was parked on a shadowy curb under a broken streetlight.
Got my money?
Londell asked as Harold climbed into his car.
Yeah,
Harold grumbled, handing him the crumpled, sweaty bills.
There's my boy,
Londell said approvingly.
And here's your $50.
Harold grabbed the money, though part of him wanted to leave it right there on the floor of Londell's car.
That guy I deliver to, he's got a wife,
Harold blurted,
and there's a little girl that lives next door.
So?
Londell answered, counting out the cash Harold handed him.
What do you care?
I don't want to go back there,
he replied.
It's not right.
Londell checked the rearview mirror.
Relax,
he said, shifting in his seat.
If he didn't buy from us, he'd buy from someone else.
She looked right at me,
Harold persisted, shaking his head.
I sold her neighbor drugs.
That's right,
Londell replied with a bitter grin.
You're one of us now.
Harold cringed.
I don't want to go back there,
he said again. Londell's cell phone rang loudly, lighting up the darkness. They both jumped at the sound.
Yeah?
Londell answered quickly, his voice tense.
Yeah, I'm on my way now. I got your money. Yeah, all of it.
Londell hung up and started the car.
Gotta go. Tell Jupe I'll be back later.
Harold swallowed and took a deep breath.
I can't do this anymore, Londell. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Harold checked his watch. It was 6:15.
He needed to get home.
What you think this is, superfoods?
Londell replied with a flash of anger.
Look, I appreciate all you did, giving me a job and all,
Harold continued, putting his hand on the door handle.
But I can't come back here. Thanks for everything. Really.
Suddenly, Londell grabbed Harold's shirt and yanked him across the car. Harold's head smacked into the console, and then he heard something click. Before he could react, he felt a stabbing pain under his chin. Londell was leaning over him, holding a switchblade at his throat.
Where you think you're going?
Londell growled.
You owe me, boy. Didn't I help you when you didn't have no money? Didn't I give you a job when you came looking for it? You belong to me now. There ain't no quitting.
The blade bit into the soft flesh of Harold's chin. Londell's eyes blazed with rage.
Please,
Harold cried. He tried to pull away, but Londell only tightened his grip.
I'll pay you back.
The rearview mirror suddenly lit up with the headlights of an approaching car. Londell ducked, shoving Harold's head lower.
Get down,
he whispered nervously, holding the knife at Harold's neck. The car passed, and Londell looked up.
I ain't going back to jail, he insisted,
staring at the red taillights fading in the distance.
And you ain't quitting, understand? I know where you live. I know where you go to school. I know you ain't got no daddy to run home to. I even know about your poor sick grandma. And you better keep your mouth shut. And you better be here Monday, he warned. Londell, please,
Harold pleaded.
I won't say anything, I swear. I won't tell anybody.
Oh, I know you won't, Londell growled, pushing the knife tightly against his skin.
Okay, Harold gasped. Please, just let me go. I'll come back Monday, I swear.
Londell relaxed his grip, and Harold pulled himself free.
You had a good day, Harold. You made your drops and came back with my money. Don't get soft on me now. You just getting started.
Harold opened the door and tumbled onto the sidewalk.
What's going on? Jupiter called from the corner. Mind your business,
Londell shouted back. Harold staggered to his feet and rubbed his chin. A bead of blood coated his finger. For a moment, his eyes locked with Keenan's and Jupiter's. He could see fear on their faces as they slowly walked toward the car. He knew at that moment how Keenan injured his lip and how Jupiter's face got bruised. Londell. The truth crashed through his mind like a gunshot.
Londell lied. He doesn't care about us. All he wants is money. And I got no way out.
Harold turned away and bolted down the street, his heart pounding so hard he could feel it throb in his throat. He made it halfway to the bus stop before his stomach heaved. He doubled over and threw up, the mess of his sandwich splattering at his feet.
What am I gonna do?
He thought desperately, burying his head in his hands.
Yo, Harold, you okay?
Harold looked up to see Bug running toward him.
Bug, he cried, wiping his mouth on his t-shirt. Listen to me. You gotta get out of here, understand? Go home and don't ever come back here, no matter what Londell says.
What you talking about? Why you throwing up in the street?
Bug reached out and pointed to Harold's chin.
You bleeding, Harold?
He cried.
It's okay. I'm all right,
Harold replied, searching his backpack until he found a notebook and pen.
Listen to me. Here's my address and phone number. You keep this with you. If you ever need me, you find me, okay?
Okay,
the boy agreed, studying Harold.
I'm serious, Bug. Londell don't care about you.
Harold stopped himself. He wanted to protect Bug, not frighten him.
Just don't come back here no more. Take the money Londell paid you and don't come back.
Londell got my money. He say I'm too young, so he holding it for me. He do give me food, though,
Bug said innocently. Harold rolled his eyes in disgust.
Tell you what, he said, trying to sound calm. I'll give you all the sandwiches you want if you promise me you won't come back here, okay?
But Londell say...
I know what he says, Harold interrupted. But sometimes grown-ups don't tell the truth. Do you trust me, Bug?
Yeah,
he said, nodding his head.
You nice.
Good. Then you gotta listen to me, okay?
Okay,
Bug agreed.
You gotta go home, Harold said. Go home to your foster mom. Run. You hear me? Run.
Bug took off down the block and Harold watched as his yellow backpack disappeared out of sight. Then Harold ran to the bus stop, wiping his chin with his t-shirt.
He pays him in cheeseburgers, Harold thought angrily. He told me he looked after Bug, but he's using him, just like me.
Harold paced the sidewalk, watching for the headlights of the bus, praying he'd make it home in one piece.
What have I done? He thought desperately. What have I done?